In Redmond, California, Microsoft is adding 17 new buildings to its headquarters campus. As the 2- and 3-story properties go up, the company is also digging 550 feet into the ground so it can use the Earth's natural heat to warm and cool the new 3 million square feet of office space. The GeoExchange system is a key part of Microsoft's plans to be carbon negative by 2030 and to remove all the carbon it has ever emitted by 2050. I'm CPE Executive Editor Therese Fitzgerald. Welcome back to Sustainability Street, our podcast on the intersection of commercial real estate and the world we live in. For this episode, I discuss the emergence of geothermal energy with my colleague, Anca Gajuk, our lead climate and energy reporter. We talk about the advantages and disadvantages of geothermal and its potential for widespread use in commercial real estate. I hope you enjoy listening to the interview as much as I enjoyed recording it. Hi, Anca. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Therese. I'm happy to be here.
Anca, when you and I started talking about geothermal energy, you said something that has stuck with me. You said that my grandparents and great-grandparents may have used geothermal energy. Explain how that is even possible.
Geothermal is the natural heat of the earth, if you wish, a kind of treasure under our feet. It's as old as the planet, as it originates from the formation of the planet and from radioactive decay of materials. There is evidence that Native Americans used geothermal energy for cooking as far back as 10,000 years ago. In ancient times, Greeks and Romans used baths heated by hot springs, and examples of geothermal space heating date at least as far back as the Roman city of Pompeii during the first century Common Era.
So fast forward to the modern age, when does geothermal first start being used to heat and cool buildings?
The world's first heating system was installed at Chaudeg in France in the 14th century, but it was just in the late 19th century that other cities and therefore industries began to realize the economic potential of geothermal resources. In 1892, in Boise, Idaho, geothermal heat was delivered to the first residences in the US, and it worked so well that by 1970, most of the city used this resource for heating. Still, the largest and most famous geothermal district heating system is in Reykjavik, Iceland, where 99% of the city received geothermal water for space heating starting in the 1930s.
And fast forward again to the 21st century. How are some of today's commercial real estate owners putting it to work in their properties?
Well, geothermal energy can heat, cool, and generate electricity. Depending on the resource and the type of technology, it can be used in different ways. So, heating and cooling buildings through geothermal heat pumps, generating electricity through geothermal power plants, and heating structures through direct use applications. Commercial building stakeholders are showing interest in geothermal for a variety of reasons, like the environmentally friendly aspect, lower electrical power requirements for energy and cost savings, low life cycle, federal tax credit incentives for an accelerated return on investment. And from an aesthetic standpoint, geothermal doesn't require an outdoor unit or rooftop equipment. More so, as LEED certification and net zero building continues to become more mainstream, geothermal stands out as the perfect fit because it checks all the boxes for that type of building.
So what are geothermal's sustainability benefits?
Geothermal energy has a series of indisputable pros, and these days more than 80 countries use this type of energy. It's sustainable and renewable because geothermal reservoirs come from natural resources and are naturally replenished. According to scientists, the energy in our geothermal reservoirs will literally last billions of years. It's reliable. We can predict the power output of a geothermal power plant with remarkable accuracy, unlike with solar and wind, where weather plays a huge part in power production. Moreover, the actual power output of a geothermal power plant is very close to total installed capacity. It works for both heating and cooling and is generally environmentally friendly as it doesn't cause significant pollution.
So what are the disadvantages?
There are some environmental issues, mostly related to geothermal power plants, and are minor compared to the present methods that we use to produce energy to heat and cool our buildings. Specifically, below the surface of the Earth, there is an abundance of greenhouse gases. Some of these escape towards the surface and into the atmosphere when geothermal energy is used. We're talking about small amounts of sulfur dioxide and silica emissions, and traces of toxic heavy metals such as mercury and arsenic. However, the pollution associated with geothermal power is very low, just a tiny fraction of what we see with coal power and fossil fuels. But there have been no reported cases of water contamination from geothermal sites in the US, according to the Union of Concerned Scientists.
That's one drawback. What else?
Another disadvantage would be related to surface instability, or in other words, earthquakes. Earthquakes can be triggered due to hydraulic fracturing or digging, which is an intrinsic part of developing enhanced geothermal system power plants. However, most geothermal plants are away from population centers, and the implications of these earthquakes are relatively minor.
Okay, some greenhouse gases, maybe some earthquakes. Are there any other cons?
Yes, high cost. Geothermal energy is an expensive resource to tap into. Wells can cost $10 million to $15 million or more. What's more, the initial tax credit for geothermal ended in 2016. This, even though credits for solar and other alternatives were extended, and this loss of credit severely hampered the industry. Presently, the U.S. federal government has enacted a 26% geothermal tax credit with no upper limit, which applies only to primary and secondary homes. For commercial building owners, the federal income tax credit is just 10% of the total system cost, with no limit to total credit amount. And both are set to expire at the end of 2023.
And is it true that it is not available everywhere?
The largest disadvantage of geothermal energy is that it is location specific. Geothermal plants need to be built in places where the energy is accessible. The most active geothermal resources are usually found along major tectonic plate boundaries where most volcanoes are located.
How does the use of geothermal in the US compare with other countries?
You'll be happy to hear that the US is the leader in geothermal power generation. It produces more than 3.7 gigawatts per year to the national grid. Indonesia and the Philippines follow with roughly 2 gigawatts each. This to me was an unexpected surprise because, as you very well know, usually, the US is behind Europe in matters pertaining to sustainability, ESG practices, and the like, but not with geothermal.
Yes, I know from my previous podcast research that Europe surpasses the US on the circular economy, electric cars, and other decarbonization measures.
As I mentioned earlier, the first modern geothermal district heating plant was developed in Idaho. It still works today. There are more than 20 miles of pipeline that heat more than 6 million square feet in Boise today. The warm water is used in various ways, from heating buildings to melting snow on sidewalks to warming recreational pools. The US also houses the largest geothermal plant in the world, in California, north of San Francisco. That's where we have the Geysers Geothermal Complex, an 18 power plant facility with a generating capacity big enough to power a city the size of San Francisco. Even though the first ever geothermal plant was set up by Prince Piero Conti in Larderello, Italy, in 1904, last year, Italy's geothermal capacity was close to just 950 megawatts.
Anca, you've been following and writing about the Whisper Valley development in Austin, Texas, which is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, real estate developments to use geothermal to date. Tell us about that project.
The sponsor of the project is Taurus Investment Holdings, a global private equity firm originally founded in Germany.
There's that European influence.
Its CEO, Peter Merrigan, said that the company's European roots have always had a major influence on its focus on sustainability, and that as the decarbonization movement has become more mainstream in the US, Taurus has enjoyed a first mover advantage in terms of technology, expertise. Also involved in the project is EcoSmart Solution, a subsidiary of Taurus, which designed, built, and operates Whisper Valley's innovative energy supply system.
How big is Whisper Valley?
We're basically looking at a massive 2,000-acre master planned community. It consists of residential neighborhoods and business districts set among 700 acres of green space and parks. It will eventually house 1,700 net zero ready single family homes and apartments, two schools, and more than 2 million square feet of retail and office space.
That has to be a complex system to heat a development of that scale.
Yes. The geothermal system itself is made of heat pumps and standard electronic thermostats and duct systems. The duct systems are basically closed loops of plastic pipes buried either horizontally or vertically in the ground below the frost line, where the temperature is consistently between 40 to 80 degrees Fahrenheit, depending on the geographical location. These pipes are filled with water and are sealed tight and connected to the geothermal heating and cooling system inside the building. During the summer months in cooling mode, unwanted heat indoors is transferred outside through the water in the pipes for cooling by the earth. The cool water is then circulated to the geothermal system indoors to provide efficient air conditioning. During the winter months, the process is reversed in heating mode. The earth heats the water circulating through the pipes, which is transferred to the geothermal system to provide indoor space heating. Hot water can also be provided for little or no additional monthly energy cost.
Now, you said the startup cost for geothermal can be high. Do the costs of the pumps get passed on to the residents of Whisper Valley?
I'd assume so. They talk about a higher first cost for the geothermal systems, as it is associated with excavation or drilling for installation of ground loops. But energy savings can quickly make up the difference in system cost compared to installation of conventional systems. Energy savings payback for typical residential geothermal heat pump installations compared to standard heating and air conditioning equipment is usually 4 to 7 years, and even less time than that with federal, state, and utility rebates.
Anca, do you think geothermal energy will ever be widely used as a decarbonization strategy?
We're past the point of no return. We're not on track to meet the target set in Paris years ago, which is to keep temperature rises to below 1.5 degrees Celsius. We're not on track to meet the target of 2 degrees Celsius. So basically, we need to get some consensus to revisit the target. Geothermal energy comes with some minor risks, but exploiting the natural heat from beneath our feet seems to me to be a no-brainer, really. It's clean, green, and renewable, and can support the push to reach net zero climate targets. In addition, it can provide good quality employment in areas where it can be developed. Look at Germany. In 2017, this country managed to reduce its emissions by more than 1.7 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. In addition, it is estimated to have created more than 22,000 jobs and added more than 13 billion to the German economy since year 2000.
And what does Germany, Iceland, and the US know that other countries do not?
I believe their common denominator is their government's commitment to supporting this technology through policies, regulations, incentives, and initiatives. For geothermal to become widespread, we need long-term, stable regulatory framework and the willingness of the state to share economic risks during the early stages of development.
Okay, Anca. We'll be following you as you follow geothermal energy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, likewise.
World leaders are meeting right now in Glasgow at the COP26 UN Climate Summit, and they are definitely talking about geothermal. That's because the UN's climate framework assumes that two-thirds of the world's total energy in 2050 will come from wind, solar, bioenergy, geothermal, and hydro. Location is a challenge for geothermal, but it's not a dead end. Scientists and engineers are working on technologies that push the boundaries of where natural occurring hydrothermal resources can be found. And they are developing and perfecting new geo exchange systems, like the one at Microsoft, that can be used anywhere. Thanks for meeting me on Sustainability Street. If you have comments about this episode or suggestions for future episodes, please contact me at therese.fitzgerald@cpe-mhn.com. Bye for now.